I've been saying this. One of my favorite things about the Row is not only do you have access, face-to-face access, access that you normally can't get, but also access with old friends, and you get to run them down. And I consider this guy that. 13 years with the Chicago Bears, a five-time All-Pro, an eight-time Pro Bowler, the 2005 Defensive Player of the Year. He's a member of the 2000s All-Decade Team, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Class of 2018 and working with United Airlines and Special Olympics. Brian Urlacher is my guest. Brian, so good to see you, man. How are you?
Good to be back on. It's been a while.
Has been a while.
How's
life treating you?
Things are good, man. Can't complain. A lot less stressful this year being around the Super Bowl than last year. Last year I was not sure if I was going to get into the Hall of Fame or not, so this is much more fun than having to worry about that.
You know, I was going to get to that a little bit later on, but since you brought that up, well, no, it's all right, man. I'm good like that. I can just kind of go with it.
I know you can.
Like, so what was that like? The days leading up to it, not knowing what was going to happen, how stressful was that, and what was that like?
I mean, it was stressful because you just don't know which way they're going to lean in that room. You know, you don't know, and there's so many good players on that finalist list. You know, look at the guys. A lot of guys that are a finalist this year were finalists last year as well. So it's just so hard to know which way they're leaning. You know, we didn't win a Super Bowl, so that I felt like that was working against me. But man, once we got that knock on Saturday night, all that went away. Just.
What's that moment like when you get that knock? What's that moment like?
So, I think it's more relief than anything for me. You know, you never know, you expect to get in there, but I thought maybe eventually I might get in, but you never think first ballot or I didn't at least. But it was just relief and just jubilation. My family was excited. I was excited. It was great.
Brian Urlacher is the Hall of Famer. He joins me on Radio Row. You know, you're somebody who always wanted to be known as a good teammate. That was the most important thing for you. You want to be a good teammate. So what's it like when you're told that not only are you a good teammate, you're one of the greatest players to ever play in that league? How did that feel?
Well, it's an honor. You know, my goal wasn't to make it to the Hall of Fame. When I played, I just love football. I want to be out there. It was a great job to have. I love going to work with my teammates every day. But, yeah, to have both those things, I look up to my teammates. Like I said, I love going to work every day. It was so fun. You get to hang out with 50 of your best friends every day for 10 hours. We're in the locker room screwing around. We're messing around at practice. So those are the things I missed the most when I retired, was just that connection to those guys is gone right away.
I was going to say, it's got to be so strong, man. When you figure out the price that you guys pay physically, mentally, emotionally, the grind, the sacrifice, all the work, I don't know how you couldn't have bonds like that. They'd probably last a lifetime, but when you're no longer in it, is there any way to replace that?
Yeah.
What do you do with the rest of your life?
Yeah, you got to find things. That's why I think guys have a hard time when they retire, is they're just, everything they're used to and their routine is gone. That was hard for me because of the routine. I'm a routine guy. I love being in my routine, my breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it is, or workout, whatever. And football, you don't have
structure.
A choice. It's just structure, man, because as a football player, you grow up with structure, whether it's high school, college, or NFL. Your whole year is laid out for you, whether it's the season or off season. You have stuff to do, and that changed right away when I retired. And plus, all the people that I've been around the last 13 years were gone, so that all that disappeared. And just trying to adjust to something different was tough there for a while.
You know, so, and all of a sudden, I would imagine there are probably some mornings we wake up like, damn, what should I do today?
Yeah, it's like, well, usually when I played, it was wake up, you got to go to the gym, you got to work out. And then I wake up, as I retired, I was like, well, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. You know, once your kids go off to school or get them settled in, I don't have to do anything. So once I got past all that initial kind of shock of not having a job, I settled in pretty quick.
Brian Urlacher joining me now. Let's be straight about one thing. There are perks and there are bennies to being in the NFL. As an example, you mentioned this in your enshrinement speech. Bennies like on Thursday, Oreo donut balls day.
Oh, white balls.
What did the guys do for the white balls? How important was that?
So Jim, we would go. So Thursday, they get there at like 9:30 or 10. They'd show up in the film room there. We'd go in there. I'd be the first one down there. I'd take a bathroom break and get, because the balls disappeared quick. So I go down there and get me some, three or four white balls and hide them around in Dean's desk there so I can have them after I ate my lunch. But, man, the stuff that we got had access to and the food that they would make for us was unbelievable. We were lucky.
How do you eat now?
Terrible. Uh-huh. But I shouldn't say that. I eat better than I did when I played. But so I just like food, man. But now if I want to eat bad, I just work out more. So I just spend more time working out.
You look great. I was going to say you look great. I saw Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing in the gym? He was great. He's like, I'm not going in. That's what I'm doing. And made no apology for it. It was very matter of fact. I'm not doing it. I'm not going in. I don't miss it. I'm good.
I played golf with Carson 2 weeks ago here over in Orlando. But I man, I started mountain biking, and I do that 5-6 days a week out in Arizona. Close to my house, there's some mountains, so I do that. I may lift 2 or 3 days a week. That's not my priority. I don't really care about lifting. I just love riding my bike. It's like therapy for my mind. Just get out there, pedaling for a couple hours, and go home.
Brian Urlacher is joining us right now. Something else you mentioned, some of your teammates, I guess who had the greatest influence on you, Charles Tillman was a guy that you pointed out.
Yeah.
What was it like playing with Peanut?
fun. All those guys, Lance, Charles, any of those guys from those years of the defense, Lil Vash, Hester, it was just fun, man. We had a good time going to work, and, you know, we got our work in practice. That's for damn sure. We go out there and practice hard. And it was cool to watch Peanut kind of progress over his career from a guy, you know, second-round draft pick, and then he created the football, the Peanut punch. I mean, guys are trying to do that now. Every corner you see is trying to get that ball out, and that's because of Peanut. You look at his cost fumbles. He's up there with D linemen in career cost fumbles. It's crazy.
So when you watch that team this year, Bears, are you feeling like a year from right now when you and I come together, we might be talking about the Bears getting ready to play in this game?
100%. This year I thought it was going to be the year, too. You know, that defense travels. That's the thing about them. You've seen what that defense can do when they're healthy. They had like 39, 40 takeaways this year, five or six defensive touchdowns. It's good to see them back where they need to be. And, you know, Coach Nagy's got the offense rolling. They're doing a good job. Mitch is going to get better and better every season under Coach Nagy. So I think they're definitely going in the right direction.
What do you make Khalil Mack, like, from the Raiders' standpoint? Oof. Their thing is like, you know what? We can't pay a defensive player that kind of money and a quarterback. Do you feel like they're devaluing, and maybe they're not the only ones, but devaluing defensive excellence?
It showed this year. I mean, you look at what Khalil, the impact he had on the Bears, and they were good before he got there, don't get me wrong, but the impact he made on them was huge. And I mean, we got him for two first-round picks. So they sent back a second-round pick to us and Khalil Mack for two first-round picks. You know, the first-round pick, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to get a generational player like Khalil.
I know what you're not going to get. You're not going to get Khalil Mack, and they had Khalil Mack.
I mean, he should be. If he keeps it up, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. You're not going to get a guy like that in the first round. I mean, he's a generational player, once every 25-year type of guy. Just I don't see it happening with a first-round pick.
So when you look at that guy and you look at Hicks and you look at that defense, does that feel like one of those great Bears defenses that upholds the standard?
For sure. You know, and look at their secondary. Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara was back there doing a good job, too. And their linebackers, you know, Roquan and Danny Trevathan. I could go on and on, all the guys. But they all played so well, and they play well together. It may be a little different next year for a little bit because they got a new D.C. Coach Pagano's there now. Coach Fangio left. So maybe a little different there early on. But I think once they get it figured out with the new defense, they're going to be lights out again.
You know, I want to ask you about a couple more things before you go, but I want to talk to you about the Special Olympics. This is something that you have worked very closely with for a long, long time. It's been important to you for a long, long time. Give me some thoughts and ideas. What are you doing with that?
Yeah, so we I'm here on behalf of United Airlines. They partnered up with Special Olympics. They're one of the big sponsors for Special Olympics. So on the 50th anniversary in Chicago, last year in Chicago, the Special Olympics, they were the gold sponsor. You know, they're trying to educate people on, you know, mostly their employees on how to help people with disabilities get through the airport. Because traveling is hard, man, so they're trying to make their employees help people with mental disabilities, physical disabilities, just get through the airport, make travel easier and not as stressful as it normally is. I know I don't like traveling. It's stressful, man. The airports are crazy. The lines are long.
It is so overrated. There's nothing glamorous about it, man. It's not what it's cracked out to be.
It's not. So United is trying to make it easier for people, especially people with disabilities, any kind of disability, to travel and make it easier for them. And they're a huge partner in Special Olympics. I've been traveling around with this girl all day, Bree, who's a Special Olympian. She's unbelievable. Her story is phenomenal. She's been telling it all morning. I've been listening to her, but she's a huge inspiration for all people, especially Special Olympians.
You know, I was looking forward to meeting her. Tell me about her. What is she like?
Unbelievable. So she was autistic when she was younger. She couldn't barely speak. She took all these. She went to therapy to learn how to speak. I guess from what she says, loud noises bothered her. And to hear her talk now, she speaks better than I do. And I don't speak well, but she speaks really well because I'm a mumbler. I talk fast, but she's very articulate. She's smart. She's now running track at Tennessee Wesleyan. She's a college athlete. It's unbelievable.
She runs like 5.5-minute miles. She's absolutely amazing.
It's a 19.5-minute 5K, so she's very impressive.
Brian, it's really funny you said you talk fast because I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, man, me and my man have covered a lot of ground, and we have a lot of time left.
Doing
and it dawned on me, we're the two fastest talkers ever. That's what it is.
I can get it in.
You and I, like, it's like somebody took the tape and turned it up 3 times speed. That's what it is.
I can't help it. I always try and slow down.
Me neither,
bro. I just feel like I need to talk fast. I get excited.
I feel the same way. I've only got one gear, too. I get it.
Yeah.
Listen, what's it like? And I've always known this, though. What's it like to be a great athlete in Chicago? It's not like lot of other towns. It's not a hell of a lot of fun when things don't go well.
Yeah.
But, man, if it goes well, what's it like? Is there a better town to be a great athlete?
Not in my opinion, especially football. You know, Michael obviously was there all those years, but I came after Michael. And when you're winning a football in Chicago, there's no better place to be. And this year, they experienced that. We went to the playoff game, my wife and I did. I haven't heard Soldier feel like that in a long time. And you walk out, the fans are just, the buildings are all lit up with Bears signs and everything. There's no better place to be when they're winning.
Brian Urlacher, my guest. How are you going to spend the rest of the weekend? Are you staying in town? Are you going
to
bust out?
I'm here until Sunday morning. I'm leaving Sunday morning to go back to Arizona. I got a few more things to do during the week, and then we'll get out of here and go back home.
Did you bring the golf clubs? Or no?
No, it's too cold.
I haven't been outside, man. That tells you where I know.
Well, it's not as cold as Chicago, but it's like minus 40 there right now. But I played golf last week and a little bit this week. I'm tired. I'm worn out.
Are you addicted to that like some guys? I mean, some guys can't play.
Yeah.
Okay, you were. What happened?
I was. I got worse, man. So I was like a 1.7 handicap.
Dude.
So I was pretty good.
Well, I didn't know you were that good.
Yeah, I was, and I'm not. Now I'm like a 6.7. I've just gone the wrong direction. I kept practicing. I kept getting lessons, and then I just cannot play like I used to. It's frustrating.
You just lost it.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened, man. It's frustrating, and talking about it makes me mad because I remember what I used
to
be able to do.
Dude, you were a 2. You were better than that.
I was good. I would shoot 73, 74, throwing a 68, 69. I was
hustling dudes, making money on the course.
No, I don't. Maybe every once in a while. When you can't play to your handicap, though, that's when you get in trouble.
You're right.
You're getting big problems. So it's a great game, though. I love it.
Brian Urlacher, my guest. My man, it was good to get caught up. I appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by. Have a great couple of days, and we'll do it again soon, I hope.
Yeah, thanks, Romy. Appreciate it.
See you, man. He looks awesome. Brian Urlacher.